Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is November the 27th, and I'm with Scott Patty for Words of Grace podcast post-Thanksgiving.
Post-Thanksgiving. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Yes, good. It was good holiday weekend. That's and right. good holiday Sunday, I guess you could call it that. It was the Thanksgiving weekend Sunday.
It feels holiday because you have a lot of, it feels like family that are coming in and visiting, and so you're meeting a lot of, I was meeting some parents of family members that go to Grace, and so it was good. Good to see some new faces.
Yes, it was. It was a good day.
Yeah. Well, we had, we were talking off of this a little while ago. It was a great sermon about trusting in the Lord. We were in Isaiah. You covered, was it four chapters? Four chapters. And man, it was just incredible. I was, just encouraged by the whole morning in general, singing, being with God's people, and then diving into his word. And, sometimes the singing, can really tie in, and I felt like it did beautifully. Like the songs we were singing and what the sermon was on was extremely encouraging. So with all that being said, give us a little overview from Isaiah, where we were in Isaah. And it was kind of different. It was very narrative, right?
That's right.
A lot going on. So give us a little recap.
Well, again, I would encourage people who did not hear it to hear it, to listen. I say that because the Lord has been so kind and gracious to give us his word. I hope the sermon was helpful and to people, but the main thing is we have the book of Isaiah and we have these four chapters, which are a on the ground, real life situation that shows us what trust looks like and what it doesn't look like. And so I would encourage people to read the text, Isaiah 36, 7, 8, and 9, and listen to the message. So, where we were is in those four chapters. It was an interesting sort of a break. Isaiah, as everybody knows, is written in this highly poetic style, a lot of imagery. It's not narrative. It doesn't track always in a event sort of sequential chronological way. It's wonderful oracle, prophetic vision. But a couple of times in the book, he gives us these historic situations. We saw it earlier in the book, chapter 7, and here we see it again. This time, the history, again, listen to the sermon because I don't have time here to go through it all, but it's about King Hezekiah and how he and the people of Jerusalem are facing a threat from the Assyrians. And the Assyrians come to the border, and they basically start their intimidation of the people of Jerusalem with these words, "In whom do you now trust?"
Right.
And so it's a taunt. They're intimidating them. They're saying, "You're rebelling against us. We're so much more powerful than you. We're going to take you down. Nobody can help you."
It has a rough taunt.
It's a very rough taunt. They get up in God's face,
which is
why the Lord dealt with them so severely, the Assyrians, because they taunted God. But they do this to Hezekiah. But that question, "In whom do you now trust?" is the driver for the rest for that those four chapters. And so we just walked through the text and saw how in that situation with the Assyrians at the border, Hezekiah, very human, showing his angst over it. He's human. He's fearful. But he turns to the Lord, and he prayed, and he put his trust in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. And then there's a second incident. Listen to the sermon about the timing. Is it before or after? But there's a second incident where the Babylonians come. Still around the time period of the dominance of the Assyrians, and the Babylonians are trying to figure out how to deal with the Assyrians as well. Probably what's happening is the Babylonians are wanting Hezekiah to join them against the Assyrians. And Hezekiah had been sick and he recovered, and they come to congratulate, him for recovering, and he shows them all of his treasure as a way of sort of boasting before them, succumbing to their flattery, showing his own pride, So it's kind of a not such a good light on Hezekiah.
Yeah.
So we were just trying to see how that's the human nature, isn't it? And it's even sometimes the nature of faith.
Yeah.
We have it. We struggle with it.
Yeah.
And so then we ended with some applications about trust. So that was it. Encourage people to listen to it.
Yeah, it was great. One of my favorite parts in that whole text was where in that first incident where Hezekiah responds, seeks the Lord, prays before him, but he takes that message from the Assyrians and lays it out
before
and
God.
And he said, okay, here it is. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful picture of, okay, here it is. You know, God already knew what it was, but just a sense of an act of him putting it before the Lord and
yeah, it's a real, it's a human interaction.
Yeah,
it is. So just to remind people, Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, had the second go round. The encounter is pretty long.
Yeah.
But the second go round, he sends a letter.
Yeah.
And Hezekiah takes the letter that's full of this threat and opens the letter and puts it before God.
Yeah.
As you said, the Lord knows, but it's this amazing human interaction with a man and God.
Yeah.
And then he prays, Lord, you see the threat. Now let's pray.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really neat picture. And, you know, and as you said, I'd encourage, we only read some portions of it. Mm-hmm. Now you kind of went through and read some others in the sermon, but encourage people to go read the whole thing. I mean, there's so many good prayers, and then the taunts, as you said, gets real intense. Mm-hmm. And, but it's just a great picture of trust, and at times another insight into when Hezekiah does not trust.
Yeah,
but it's a great. So I would encourage people to go read that. Mm-hmm. So got a couple of questions, and want to talk through with them. And one of them comes during your application part of the sermon.
Okay,
I can't remember what number it was, and you even kind of like, I don't even know what number I'm on. But one of them, you said, "Don't trust humans."
Yeah.
Now, you kind of went there a little bit, but I would love for you to expand on this a little bit.
Okay.
Is how do we live in the world doing that? Because not to trust humans, you know, we're in relationships, we're engaged in different things in our world, you know, whether it be politics or work or you know, marriage or friendships or family. Mm-hmm. And how do we live when there seems to be some level of trust we need to have, but we can't fully trust? So help us. How would you encourage us to live in our world not trusting humans?
Yeah. Okay, that's a great question. I'm glad it got raised today so that we could come back and sort of flesh that out a little bit more. Okay, first, there is a certain human-to-human trust level, obviously, that goes on in all kinds of interpersonal relationships.
Yeah,
And the deeper that relationship, the more trust level there is. So you can have a friend and you... we have a certain level of trust. You're my friend, and so if I tell you something in confidence, I'm wrestling with something, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you not to divulge that information. I have a wife. I'm trusting her to be my lifelong marriage partner, and we're going to be faithful to each other. We have a level of trust. Of course, that trust gets broken at times with people, but we put our trust there to a certain degree. So that happens, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's human, and that's normal and good. Because how do human relationships even exist if you don't have a basic level of trust, depending on the type of relationship? Okay. But that's different in putting your trust, your whole trust in someone. Mm-hmm. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And don't lean on your own understanding. Okay, that's different. Mm-hmm. Because when you trust the Lord, you are depending on him not to ever break the confidence, not to ever violate the trust. Mm-hmm. You are trusting that God is sovereign. Mm-hmm. And that kind of trust leads to an absolute obedience and an absolute yielding and surrender to him. It's putting the whole weight of your hope. So I do trust my wife, and I do trust you as my friend, but I got to be honest, Justin, I don't put the weight of my hope and trust on you.
Yeah.
You're a human being. Mm-hmm. You're failed and flawed like I am. Mm-hmm. And so we might fail each other. Mm-hmm. And so we can apologize and seek forgiveness. And sometimes that even doesn't happen.
Okay.
You know, as much as I trust my wife, she won't live forever.
Right.
You know, she either one of us could die. You see, we're humans. But when we trust the Lord, it's an all in.
Yeah.
It's every ounce laid upon the Lord.
Yeah.
And as I said, that leads to a different kind of loyalty and obedience.
Yeah.
Really fear of the Lord, meaning in the good sense, always aware of his presence, always aware of his love, always aware of his commands, always in awe of him, always mindful of him as the ultimate. Trust in the Lord. So when the question comes to Hezekiah, in whom do you now trust? Yeah. That's the level.
Yeah, that's the level.
That he has to consider.
Yeah.
And I think too, we live in a world where we have to make decisions socially, politically, these kinds of things. And I vote, I'm going to, we're all going to, not all going to, but we all have the opportunity to vote.
Right.
When I go vote, or when I, personally support a political position or even a candidate, is that putting my hope and my trust in them? Not really. Mm-hmm. It's me being a citizen. It's me asking some serious questions about how I think society should be ordered based on what I know about God and his will and what's good for people, what's good for society. And so I'm going to make a decision about things. But I don't put my ultimate hope there.
Yeah.
I mean, history shows us that all leadership, political leadership, spiritual leadership, they're all flawed.
Yeah.
No one is worthy of my loyalty. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I engage socially, civically, but I don't rest my hope there.
Yeah.
My hope is in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because this world won't last as it is. Mm-hmm. I have theological, I wouldn't call them heroes as much as I would just call them helpers.
Right.
People who have helped me over the course of my life and of my ministry. But they're flawed.
Right.
And I don't put my hope in them. I learn from them and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is the level of trust that Hezekiah is being asked in this passage is an all-in, all of your, every ounce of your being trusting in the Lord.
Yeah, he's the king of God's people.
Right.
And the Lord has chosen these people to be his representatives on this earth to bring light to the nations, and through whom will come the light for the nations.
Yeah.
And they are in a covenant relationship with God, the covenant that God established with them. He will be their God, and they will listen to his voice.
Yeah.
And so he's being called to a complete, absolute trust in the Lord as a man of faith, but also as a leader of God's people.
Yeah, and then I'm also hearing you say, yes, we will have to have some level of trust with relationships in our lives, and we have to make decisions in the world, whether it's with our business and coworkers or, as you said, voting, but that's not our ultimate hope, because all of these systems, people, they're flawed.
That's right.
And
so it's not enough. Yeah, here's another way of putting it, to try to bring together maybe, I don't know if it's the tension, I don't know if the word's tension, but just the reality. It's not enough to say to someone, oh, don't trust in the political system. Don't trust in politicians. Well, the person's left with, well, what am I supposed to do? Because I do have a vote.
Right.
So to say don't trust in it doesn't mean you don't participate in it.
Right, right.
You participate in it if you so choose. I choose to and others choose to. So you participate to the extent that you have opportunity and you can. Right. And not just voting, in other ways. There's many ways to participate in society.
Yeah.
And there's ways to participate civically.
Yeah.
So go do it.
Yeah.
So it's not enough to say, don't trust in those things. Well, okay, I'm not trusting in them, but what's still what I do? Yeah, okay, you participate.
You participate.
As best you can.
And then trust in the Lord.
And then your ultimate loyalty is to Christ.
Yeah. I liked what you said, too, in the sermon, because even with what you're talking about, you can apply what you said. You said, throughout the sermon, you said, you are often faced with a crisis or an opportunity in your life, a circumstance that is an opportunity for you to trust the Lord. Mm-hmm. I love that, Scott. That is a very simple way to look at everything in life.
Yeah.
So when you're in a marriage. This is an opportunity to trust the Lord ultimately.
Yes.
When I'm going to vote, this is an opportunity to ultimately trust the Lord.
Ultimately
when
trust
the Lord. When I, whatever, you know, parent, when I have a friend, when I'm, whatever it is, or there's a crisis in my life, this is an opportunity to trust the Lord.
Yeah. You mentioned marriage. That's another, let's take that example a little bit further. I don't put my total hope and trust in my wife, and she does not put hers in me. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't mean we're not a good husband and wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go home tonight and we're going to have dinner and we're going to talk about the day and we're going to see what we got to do to the tasks of our married life together that move us forward. And we're fully engaged and we're committed.
And you want to grow the trust.
We're going to build the trust and we're going to love each other and we're going to stay faithful to each other. And, you know, so it's not enough to say, well, don't trust in your wife. Right. Well, I'm not trusting in my wife.
Yeah.
I'm trusting in Christ and the Lord, but I'm here to serve her.
Yeah.
And so I am engaged.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way to look at it.
I almost think, too, it's almost, Scott, is the you have to trust the Lord in all of these things because you really can't control the outcome.
That's right.
And so you kind of like, okay, in the marriage relationship, we go to the marriage. Well, I really hope my wife's faithful, but I can't control anything. Mm-hmm. I got to do my best to be a godly husband. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I'm going to have to trust the Lord because I don't know what tomorrow brings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to trust. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to one last question.
Yeah.
Because as I started thinking about, sometimes you read stories where someone in the Bible will trust the Lord and it turns out really well and things go well, you know, and maybe the attack is thwarted or, you know, their life turns out better than it was before. Think about Job. Don't want to downplay his suffering. He still had massive suffering.
Right, but at the end of the that's right, he was restored.
And I start thinking about, we talk often about the persecuted church here. I know there's a lot of people in the world, they're going to trust the Lord and that means they may die.
That's right.
So how do you help people in learning how to trust the Lord, knowing that the outcome may be painful?
Yeah. Well, okay. Be careful here because we do hope for good outcomes.
Right.
And we don't want to say that hoping for good outcomes means you have a bad motive.
Correct. Yeah.
But if you trust the Lord, you trust the Lord. You don't trust the outcome.
Right.
So again, think it through.
Yeah.
If you trust the Lord, you trust the Lord.
Yeah.
Regardless of the outcome. If you're disappointed, you're trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
If it turns out beautifully in that moment, you're trusting the Lord.
Right.
So when you say, I'm going to trust the Lord, I'm going to give my life over to Christ. He's going to be the powerful affection of my life. If you die for it, you've trusted the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're delivered, you've trusted the Lord.
Right.
Whether you live or die. This sounds very Pauline, doesn't it? Like Paul, whether you live or die, you live or die unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
And so if we say trusting the Lord is going to make the outcome in this world okay, well, it might be a clue to the fact that you're using trust in the Lord to ensure a good outcome, which is not really trusting the Lord.
Right.
So we trust the Lord.
It's kind of what, and you've talked about this before, which is from the Bible, but trusting the Lord as we entrust our lives to Him, and even entrusting the outcomes.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to trust your sovereignty, and help me, which means that you still could be disappointed, and with that pain could come disappointment if it doesn't come in a good outcome in your mind, but I'm still going to trust the Lord in it.
I'm glad you brought the word entrust, because that's important. We've talked about that a lot here at Grace. But let's go back to Hezekiah to kind of full circle. Hezekiah had to entrust himself, his city, really his nation, to the Lord.
Right.
Because he really couldn't do anything about it. And maybe when we get to the next two chapters, you know, the last two chapters, 38 and 39, when he looks like he's sort of maybe trying to cozy up with the Babylonians, the reason that didn't look like trust is because he was entrusting himself to some of his own means and not to the Lord. So entrust is a very important word here. That's what it means to trust, is to entrust ourselves to God. And now here's what we know too. We know the outcome. And that's why we're Christians. We know that the Bible, Isaiah, Revelation, are pointing to something new, to a newness that has not yet come in its fullness.
Right.
And it won't come in its fullness until the return of Christ.
Yeah.
And at the return of Christ, the newness that is to come will be here in its fullness. Mm-hmm. And all of our trusting will be worth it, because there the outcome by faith, by grace through faith, will be, we will always be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's what we have to keep our minds on, without then sort of disengaging from what's happening in our world today.
Right. Yeah. I like that. We may not know the immediate outcome, but we know the eternal outcome.
We do.
And that's where we trust.
Yeah.
And that's helpful. Well, Scott, great sermon. I would encourage again those that maybe weren't here because they were traveling to pull it up online, listen to it, go read the narratives behind this. And it's just a beautiful text and a beautiful reminder. I think, Scott, it's always funny when you preach a series at Grace, I feel like at times there's always one theme in my mind, maybe it's just for me, but that I hear over and over again. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing over and over again is trust the Lord.
Well, I appreciate that. I do need to say that, you know, that's not like original.
Right.
Like I do read people and I listen to people and I'm helped by, there's a lot of wonderful scholars, biblical scholars and pastors, preachers who I glean from. So, and mainly it's just the theme of Isaiah. It's just the way it is. One of the main themes of Isaiah is to trust. Yeah.
Well, great. Well, next week, coming up Sunday, we'll be in Isaiah 40.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to spend a few weeks in for December at Grace.
Great.
People call it, you can call it Advent, you can call it December, you can call it Christmas, whatever. But a real Christmas theme is going to be Isaiah 40.
Yeah,
and seeing Christ and experiencing Christ and hearing about Christ in Isaiah 40. Maybe it'll be like a Christmas present for us here at Grace.
Good. Well, we look forward to jumping into Isaiah 40 and heading into December at Grace theme here in Isaiah 40. It'll be an encouraging time for us.
Great.
All right. Thanks.